Welcome to the November 3rd, 2022. And this is Director Butler. I've also invited Director Mabee, since Director John Merchants is no longer on the board. We have quite a bit to discuss today, but first we have to consider of the COVID-19 emergency. Meeting in person would present an imminent risks to the health or safety of attendees, and the meeting is authorized to be held by teleconference pursuant to government code 54953. Does everybody agree with that?
Yes, since you're the only one.
Is Tim on?
I see Tim and I see Tom. Tom, you're muted. Press star 6 on your iPhone, Tom. And that's iPhone is Tom Hennig this morning. And see if that'll let you unmute. In the meantime, we'll move along.
Monthly website and comments from the public. Sorry.
I don't have any hands raised. Oh, I do have a hand raised. And that would be collateral damage, which is Richard Gears, I believe. Richard.
Good morning. I just noticed on the website there's answers to social media questions, and I found that quite biased. And questions that were not addressed was the legality of Measure R. There's questions on social media about the legality of Measure R, and I'd like to know why that particular question was not addressed, and the fact that you board members, including you, Linda Butler, were sent emails requesting that the lawyer's opinion on Measure R be made public, and you people did not respond to that. You did not address it in the board meeting, and that should be addressed in your responses to what's going on in social media. I'd like to know. You should address that question publicly, the legality of Measure R. Personally, I want to know what is it you are hiding and what is it you don't want us to know?
Director Butler, this is Tim Mabee. If you'd like me to address that specific question from the resident, I'd be more than happy.
That'd be fine. Thank you.
Sure. All the documentation that was sent to us, to all the board members, specific from Richard Gere, was in fact included in last month's board packet. The board president, myself, did have dialogue with legal counsel specific to the letters that were addressed to the board members. And upon legal opinion, it was addressed the way it was. If you feel there's something illegal about Measure R, then I would really implore you to go down to Sacramento County. They're the ones that approved the ballot measure and actually put it on the ballot. So it is no longer a community service district specific issue, whether it's legal or not. We met the state mandate. It went to the county. The county approved it. So any further dialogue is not going to be had by the board or the district on whether it's legal or not. I would implore you to move your concerns, whatever they are, further up the food chain, so to speak, to Sacramento County election officials.
You know, you're asking us to vote on this, and you're not giving us the information that we need to make an informed decision. And what I want to know, I ask him, what are you hiding and what is it you don't want us to know? You've been giving a legal opinion, and if you want to make that public, you can do it. You have chosen not to do it. And again, I ask you, what are you hiding and what is it you don't want us to know? You obviously want this to pass. But you're not giving us the information we need to make an informed decision. And this is typical from CSD. This is the Communications Committee. And Later on, item six, you're going to discuss communication with the community, and you people are failing miserably. Period. End of this. Okay, that's the end of, that's all I've got to say. And one more thing. What are you hiding, and what is it you don't want us to know?
Thank you for your comments, sir. I have no other hands raised. Shall we continue the meeting, ma'am?
Yes.
Thank you.
Monthly website and social media update.
That is me. Come on, cursor. Oops, sorry. Our first is, we had a lot of page views. We're normally in the 5,000 to 6,000 range, and we had 11,000. So we do have a lot of hits this month. Of course, the majority are just going to our main webpage, the board of directors, how to pay my bills. So, 2019, somebody was interested in an
the board meeting of directors.
Yeah. So it is what it is.
Typically it's 9,000, is that?
5,000 to 6,000 is my usual number there. And I'm up to 11, so
right.
Very popular
October
month.
October 31st. Maybe people were asking about Halloween things.
Again, there was maybe looking for Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Oregon, however, was the number one region that looked.
Yeah.
At our website this month.
I can never figure this out.
I can't figure it out.
Yeah.
And they came in at almost three times as many hits as California. So, and that's when I think, well, we must have such a great website that there's a water district in Oregon that's looking at us and wants to emulate us.
Yeah,
I forgot the Facebook page. I'm sorry. We had 648 Facebook hits last month.
Okay.
Any questions?
Anybody have any questions?
Seeing no hands raised, we'll go back to the agenda.
So the next item on the agenda is discuss the monthly bill format. Before we start on that, I just have a couple of comments. I'm not sure that this is ready for discussion. This was told to me on Monday, but I never saw the actual sheets until yesterday afternoon. I have questions about how we're going to communicate anything like this to the residents. I don't know where this is in process, and if this is all that Tyler can present to us. It's from the common ordinary resident in Rancho Murrieta, which I've been here 32 years. I think this is extremely complex, and I listened the other day to Tyler about educating the people in our district and on our staff going forward and the kinds of things that they're going to have to know about. And I don't know how we would educate our community about this. So that was my take on this. I don't know what anybody wants to say, anybody else wants to say about it. The only word I recognized on some of this was garbage.
I think it's, I think maybe Paula can dig into it a little bit for us.
Yeah, thank you. I can speak to this a little bit. Basically, the intent was to bring the forms to the communications committee to kind of discuss what these utility bills would look like. When you look at these are just forms. This is using their generic information that they would provide to any client, not customized specifically to what our needs would be. So when you see things like accelerated charge, electric contract, those are just boilerplate forms that they've provided us. It's really more the format that we're trying to determine what the committee and the board essentially wants to move forward with our new utility bills. And so that's really the intent of this discussion.
So the red, like number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, those numbers won't be on there. Those are just for...
Correct. Those are just talking points. Those are actually decision-making points. When we go through, there are certain questions like, do you need the barcode for number 3 or do you not need the barcode? And this is typically what we would use for a scanner. So when we receive these pay stubs, we have a scanner, we scan that in, and it's automatically connected to Utility Star. So it's easier to process the payments within the system. Ultimately, we can continue to use that or we can eliminate that. So that's really what this is just looking at the form, determining what we want in the form. If we want to keep it the way that's presented here, we have 3 different forms for the utility bill. I believe there's the 3-day notifications. The 10-day notifications are also in here as well. We have postcards. There's the postcard option. So there's a lot of options that we can provide the residents.
And these are the worksheets for us to use to decide how much option we want, how much detail we want in there.
Correct. And there are 2 forms that allow for consumption graphs. And really, we have a lot of options here. So ultimately, what we want to provide is something consistent with what we're currently providing. And if we have the capability of offering more information, we would definitely like to do that for the residents.
Will you talk about the consumption graph and what this would detail for our residents?
So the consumption graphs, basically, option A is just generic, and it is just the current readings, previous readings. We provide this information right now. There is several other options to provide. Option B is the current reading, previous reading with the usage. There's a little bit difference with the chart. It explains a little bit better the graphics that, the graph itself is just slightly different. But option D is the one that we're providing now. We're providing the consumption, the readings, and this is probably the option that would be best so that we could continue using the same formatting for our utility bills moving forward in the new system.
And Paula, this is Mike. I just had a quick question. I know that we probably need to make at some point some kind of decision on the bill format, but do you know if it would be possible to get a representative bills based on like what we actually provide, like water, sewer, and everything else, and have that as example bills for people to view? It might be easier to.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Decision.
Yeah, I was asked to bring this to the communications committee in this format. And so I would absolutely be able to get that information from Jolinda, the project manager. And that would give us a better idea of what it would look like with our own information. Yes, I can do that.
The one thing that I feel is really important is for us to denote the basic water service charge, and then whatever the whatever the water service charge is above and beyond that, a usage charge, I guess you would say.
The flat rate
and then whatever your usage is. I think that needs to be on there.
Okay.
And some things are static. Garbage will be static, drainage will be static.
Security
will be static. It will be different for different people, but behind the gate, it's one thing, outside the gate, it's another, et cetera. When I look at my bill, I look at usage, the usage chart. I look at the charges and the difference in water between the basic rate and the what can I call that? I don't have the words.
The overage.
The overage, yeah. Usage. You just have to make this really simple. and not too much different from what we're using right now.
Okay. So maybe we'll just bring back one that we really love next time to this committee. Is that okay?
Make it look as close to the one that we're using right now with okay. With a couple of those things in it.
I do have a few hands raised from the public. Are you ready for comment?
Sure.
John Sullivan. Good morning, John.
Morning, Amelia. Morning, everybody. Would we make sure that we have a slot on here that has the assessor's parcel number along with the street address? There's periods of time where you're going to have the APM and you may not know the street address. And when you get, like we do, you know, dozens of bills, if you can't tie it back to the APN number, somebody has a problem. And obviously, all the bills are tied to some parcel.
I think that's a really good idea. Lots of people, whenever they even get up at the meetings, don't know their number. This would be a way for them to find out.
I like the format, which is different from what we get on our current bill, on the BL4 structure. It shows the previous balance, the payments against previous balance, adjustments, penalties, and then you have whether there's any past due. That's not the way we present it currently. So this is a way better layout for seeing what's actually due from the customer. I like the idea of telling them what they're going to owe if they don't pay by the due date, mm-hmm. as well. But the graphic presentations were a huge upgrade when they went on the bills, because you can see immediately if your last year use was skewed. You know, I had that happen when my meter broke and I went to zero, and I had that happen when I had a leak and my use went way, way up. I knew exactly that I had a problem from what I used last year. So those graphics are pretty, they help a lot. And those are my comments. I wasn't really sure where you show the remittances. Is there a tear off portion? it shows on the very bottom that you've got 8.5 by 11 or postcard, or it looks like 8.5 by 14. Is that correct?
There are different versions of the same thing. And so ultimately, each of the actual paper bill will have the tear-off portion. Like as you can see here, this one is in the bottom. A couple of them have it at the top. We do have the postcard option as well. So there's a lot of different formatting within each one of the forms.
Yeah, I think it would be very, very helpful to have a mock-up of a CSD, normal CSD bill. It would really help to see if we got everything we need. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, John.
I have one other comment. Richard Gears.
Hi. The current bill has some shortcomings. I think looks like they're continuing with this bill. And that is the abbreviation of each one of those items we're being billed for, like residential something or other. It's RES dash something or other. And you look at that bill, you don't know what that means, what residential reserves or whatever. I mean, a big improvement if you could unabbreviate all that stuff so that we could really see what we're being billed for and understand it. after a while, you kind of figure out, you know, after month, you kind of figure out, at least some people do. But I think with this current bills you're showing on here that, you know, those descriptions of the individual items need to be expanded and unabbreviated. That's it.
That's a great suggestion. Thank you very much, Richard.
I have no other hands raised.
Okay. Is there any more comments on, or more input on this? What's the next step?
Ultimately, what we'll do moving forward is we'll review these forms in depth, and then I'll reach out to Jolinda and see if we can get something customized specifically to Rancho Murrieta's information, and then we'll have something better to present at the next communications committee.
And a comparison between what we know and...
Absolutely.
Okay.
Okay, perfect.
Okay.
On to the next item.
One of the things we changed, if I remember correctly, and it was right around the time that that the board members changed, was that we used to have it in color, and we changed it to blue and black, I guess, and white, because it was less expensive. And I understand that. It's just the graph. I liked it when they compared it year by year. So that's something to consider also.
Okay, thank you, Linda.
Okay, number six. Discuss communications with the community. I'm the one who asked to have that put on the agenda. Some of this is a little general that I'm going to make comments on, and there is one specific thing that I want. We have a limited ability to communicate with the community. The information that the community gets is usually through the pipeline on our website. And that's basically it. We do have a Facebook page through the county. Is that right?
No, Facebook is just Facebook.
Okay.
Anybody can have Facebook.
What is it that we have through the county?
It's Nextdoor.
Nextdoor. Okay.
And we piggyback on the county's Nextdoor
right.
page. So if we had anything that was really important, like. I think we've only used it two or three times
right. already.
Like when we had those awful storms last winter,
mm-hmm.
we put on there batten down.
So we have not used it to share information that has been questioned or no.
Mm-mm. No, I think that was the last time when we had that big rain event last year was the last time we used it.
I've just been struggling with ways to communicate with a community that we can get their attention. I know from personal contact with members of the community that lots of people do not necessarily adhere to the Nextdoor situation. And they want to know what's going on. It's something that I think we need to do more with, and we need to address the community that isn't involved in that area. So one of the things that I've brought up a few times is that when we put the ability to auto pay, we also put a link on there that people could look at the pipeline. My take on that and from conversations with a variety of people is that people don't click on that. So they don't see the pipeline. I wanted to have some way of looking at the pipeline under the auto pay and see how many people are actually looking at the pipeline, clicking on the link, and also what we can do about that in terms of sending out bills to everybody. So if anybody's got any ideas about that, Paula, we've talked about trying to get that information in the past several times, and I really wanted to know what we can expect, what we can do about how we can reach out to whoever is supplying that.
Yeah. So Linda, I can give you an update on that. We've actually talked to the company that does the e-billing, and ultimately the only thing that they are able to do is let us know whether the email itself was open. They can't, because the email is embedded within an email, they're unable to determine whether or not those emails that are embedded in the email for the pipeline have been opened. The only thing that they can determine is whether the email has been sent, if it's been kicked back, and whether it's been opened. So they don't have the capabilities to do that. One of the things that we could start doing is posting the pipeline on our Nextdoor and Facebook pages and posting the link there. I don't know if the traffic that Amelia captures through our social media sites, if that would capture that information. You can see on Facebook how many people have viewed a post or how many people have commented, but I don't know that you would necessarily get that traffic. But we can continue looking at other options to see if there's a way to determine how we can capture the pipeline clicks on the link. Maybe it might be something as simple as sending out a separate email. I know we don't want to do that. We want to minimize the traffic to the residents, but we'll look into other options.
And can we look into the cost or the commitment to sending out the pipeline to everybody the way we used to?
Yes, we can certainly do that.
Anybody else have any suggestions in terms of communicating with the community in other forms? I think we need to make some serious effort to get factual and correct information out to the community without having to struggle with this. It's the communications committee there has to be other ways to deal with this. I'd be interested in knowing. I have done some reading in the CSDA, what is that called? The CSDA newsletter that comes out every couple of months. And they have made some suggestions also, which actually we seem to be doing it. I think we can use our connection with the county. Yeah.
County.
I think we can use that more effectively than what we've been using. And I really want to continue to look into this.
Okay.
But there's so much misinformation that ends up out in the community, and we have to figure out some ways to correct that. We've been trying with FAQs and everything that we put on the website, as well as what we put in the pipeline. I'm just deeply concerned that we are not getting to people who don't frequent technology, let's put their social media.
Would you like me to put the link to the pipeline on the Facebook, Linda?
Yeah.
I mean, I can do it. I'll do it today, and then we'll see next month.
Yeah.
If we have any. Okay. Okay.
At some point, I think it would be helpful to us to at least get a little bit of consultation on reaching out to the community. Not anything real expensive, but someone who could give us some help on what other communities are doing, what other districts are doing. And perhaps we can get some of that through the CSDA newsletter and the association in general. Nobody has anything to say about this?
I do have one hand raised. Are you ready for public comment?
Sure.
Richard Gears.
Hi, it's nice you have this item on the agenda, but quite frankly, and I hope you're listening, but you people are failing miserably at communication. I don't think you understand the concept of communication. I mean, Everything I hear over and over again, it's one way street. You're going to send us something and we're going to read what you say. You're stonewalling people. You don't answer questions. You don't explain anything. Like with the reserves, increasing the rates for the reserves. You went with the 60% over 5 years, but the expert recommended something else. Not one board member explained why they went with that. Like with Measure R, the polling said that the rate you went with would fail. Not one board member explained why they went with that option that was going to fail. And over and over and over again, you're limiting communication. You've tightly controlled communication in the board meetings. 3 minutes and you cut them off. And Tim maybe sits up there on the board, very obviously ignoring the people that are talking. You are failing miserably at communication. And I think you ought to recognize that. I don't think it's going to help because I don't think you care. You just want to get your little bit out there. And we're supposed to take it. And, you know, if you're serious, you need to address that issue. But quite frankly, I don't think you're serious. I yield the floor.
Thank you for your comments. Are you ready for the next item, ma'am?
Yes. Cybersecurity and hacking attempts.
I believe Paula's going to discuss this with us.
Yes. This is just really a reporting of some of the things that have been going on within the district lately. Over the last couple of months, we've had a lot of cybersecurity hacking attempts. They've come through various formats. Primarily, it's through email and phishing attempts. And we most recently had one come through our Ring Central, and they used our Ring Central application to send an attachment that would have caused additional issues. And ultimately what happens with these phishing attempts is once you open up the email attachment, then your email address is now on a list. And then they are able to access files. They can get into the system in some cases, and they can look at just some of our records. Typically what we've seen is that they're looking at our email activity. So we've been very mindful about not having any confidential, any banking information, any type of identifying information so that they can get into other areas that would be of great concern. I'm currently working with a Leap Ahead IT. We're working on a plan to do some penetration testing. And what this does is it essentially provides us a snapshot in time of what is happening and who's trying to get through and what does get through. It's interesting. I think this had been discussed before, but a Leap Ahead has such mechanisms in place for their to prevent cybersecurity that when we forward them the actual phishing attempt, it immediately kicks it back and they never receive it. So we're looking at getting some of those protections in place, what the cost is, whether it's a one-time or ongoing cost. And so we're working with them. We're actually having this discussion this afternoon to get some tools on board so that we can minimize these phishing attacks and hopefully protect the district's information a lot better.
Thank you.
Okay. Just a quick comment on that. Has it been extremely disruptive or added a great deal of work? It's such a sensitive issue. Do you have the tools that you need to manage this and to handle this?
Ultimately, when staff receive them, they forward them to me, and then I'm in contact with the Leap Ahead. So really, it's just my staff time working with the Leap Ahead and sending the emails out and letting staff know, don't open the attachments. Yes, this is a phishing attempt. If you have opened these, please let me know. I've spent quite a bit of time working with a Leap Ahead outside of normal business hours, attempting to thwart an attack. I believe this happened a couple of months ago. And we were on the phone until almost 10 o'clock at night, going through and checking everybody's emails and shutting people down and resetting passwords and basically locking the systems down to ensure that they couldn't get in. And we were very successful with that. So ultimately, it's just staff time at this point in time, and Leap Ahead is very proactive. So again, we're continuing to work with them to mitigate a lot of these phishing attempts and hopefully get the resources and tools in place so that we can minimize the level of disruption for the staff.
Okay, thanks, Paula.
Absolutely.
Directors and staff comments, anything? Tim?
No, I'm good, thank you.
This is Tom, have anything?
Hi, Tom.
Hi, Tom. You don't have anything?
No, I don't, good morning.
Good morning, okay. All right, I think we're done. I'd like to call the meeting to adjourn.
Thanks, everybody. Have a great day. We'll see you at 10.
All right, bye.